One man of God said that one of the proof of my physical life is my pulse. And one of the proof of my spiritual life is my prayer life. Without prayer, we cannot live spiritually. Brothers and sisters, especially in the time of suffering, as a believers, our life goal is to become like Jesus morally. That is impossible in time of trials without prayer. Prayer will help us to handle the suffering, help to live holy life, righteous life in the suffering. But it should be Christ-centered, not man-centered. When should we pray? What should we pray? To whom should we pray? These all questions will be answered in this sermon. This sermon is very important to those who are facing trials now and who are facing, going to face in future. I am truly saying that if you want to know what is the Christ-centered prayer in trials, please listen this sermon carefully. If you want to live righteous life in time of trials, this sermon will give answer to you. Open your Bible, James, letter of James, epistle of James, chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Verse 7 says, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. James is the author of this epistle, this letter. He wrote this to Jewish Christians who were scattered. When we see verse 1 says, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, they were scattered. This background we can see Acts chapter 8 verse 1. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him into the death, that is Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. For these people, James is writing, they have trials of faith, and they have trials of finance, and they have trials of fear, because they lost everything. So, when we read this scripture, verse 5 to 8, the main theme of this passage is God-centered prayer in trials. God-centered prayer in trials. Look at verse 5 says. 5 says that, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Asking is praying or requesting God. When we see chapter 1 verse 2 to 4, we can understand context of this verse. He is telling to his readers that they should ask God in time of trials. Praying is very essential to the believers when they are going to the difficult situation. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made to known to God. So we have to pray God, especially when we are in the trials. Three principles that teach us to pray in a God-centered way. Three principles that teach us to pray in a God-centered way. First principle that teaches to pray in God-centered way is praying God by acknowledging our weakness. Praying God by acknowledging our weakness. Look at verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Brothers and sisters, James is saying that lacks wisdom, if you have lack of wisdom in trials, this is showing the weakness of believers in trials. He is telling, when does believer pray? That is the lack of wisdom in trials. Here James is generally speaking, anyone who has lack of wisdom in trials, verse 3. James used the word wisdom. The meaning of word wisdom, normally, generally, the skill of using knowledge. In this context, wisdom is handling trials, handling the practical issues of in our life, the time of trials. This is showing that the weakness of believers when they are going through the trials. Actually, brothers and sisters, this is not for particular persons. This is for anyone, any person who is a believer and who is in trials. He has no wisdom. That time he can ask God. He is not telling particular person. He is speaking generally. This applies to every believer. He is speaking generally. This will apply to Universal Church. This will apply Cornerstone Community Church. This is showing that everybody will need to pray God. If we think that this is not for me, look at James is saying, observe his words. If any one of you, he did not give any identification for that person. There is a difference between Jewish Christians. Some of them are poor, some of them are rich, some of them are educated, uneducated. But he's generally speaking, any one of you who lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What is the lack of wisdom? If you understand this truth, we will understand what is our weakness. James used this word very interesting way. Wisdom is a moral upright walk. James chapter 3 verse 13 says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. Showing good behavior and deeds in trials. He is explaining that. What is the wisdom in verse 17, chapter 3? Look at those words. He says that wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Normally, wisdom leads to disorder. This true wisdom gives moral life, better, bitter, jealousy, and selfish ambition in your heart, being arrogant, lying against the truth, disorder, and every evil thing. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but it is a earthly, a natural, demonic. Here, brothers and sisters, listen carefully. Two types of wisdom is here. One is above, one is on earth. James is talking about above wisdom. The above wisdom leads us into the moral life. Here, wisdom is not talking about the wisdom to study on earthly things. It is the wisdom to live holy life, righteous life. That's why he said, verse 4, chapter 1, let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Why I am saying that? Wisdom is upright walk because of verse 4. When you are going through the trials, when you are facing trials, that time you will become in image of Jesus Christ. So, we have to understand. Finally, meaning of these words, if any one of you lack of wisdom in trials, if any one of you lack of wisdom to walk righteously in trials, let him ask God. If you don't have wisdom to walk up righteous life in trials, please ask God. That is the main idea of here. There is a lack of spirituality in trials. There are lacks of love and partiality, selfishness, because they lost their home. They lost their luxury life. They have sin in their among them. They don't have correct life, even though they are going through difficult situation. People say usually that, what? When we are happy, we do sin. But when we are not happy, also we do sin. That happened really in this church. Let me tell those things briefly. What will happen? What happened in this church? They are struggling in their speech. They are slow to hear and quick to speak. Chapter 1, verse 19. They are not receiving word of God, doing filthy sins and wickedness. Chapter 1, verse 20. They have sin of partiality among them, that they are looking down on poor. They have problem with their tongue. Chapter 3, he mentioned. They have quarrels because of lust for things of others. And they have pride and fellowship with the world. See, even though they are going through difficult situation, they have lot of spiritual problems. That's why Holy Spirit is speaking to them through James so that they may overcome sins. If any man has any problem and sins in time of trials, then they need to wisdom to live upright life. But they are not that much skillful. They need wisdom, which is skill of to living faithful and righteous life. This is their weakness. Suddenly government started persecution against us and taking our lands and taking our properties. That time we will be depressed. When we are facing difficult situations, maybe sickness, cancer, diabetes, maybe corona, when we are going through that situation, that time there is a chance to do sin. That time we need wisdom to handle the trial so that we may live righteous life. We may have wisdom, but this wisdom will not come from us. This wisdom will come from above. So we need to depend on Jesus Christ. We need to depend on God. Brothers and sisters, it is possible that when we are going through difficult situation, we will do sin. We will do sin. For example, I will give some example. Abraham married his servant because of trial of no child. We know that gave birth to Ishmael, who is troubling Israel now also. The Moses became angry because of pressure of Israel. He has beaten the rock. Elijah was running for fear of one lady. He said that no one is beside me, for the God I am alone. He became prideful because of trials. Peter denied Jesus Christ 3 times because of trials. Do you understand that? When we are going through difficult situation, we will do sin. Not only when we are happy. So, that time, you need wisdom to handle the trials, to live righteous life, to live holy life. See verse 5b saying, let him ask of God. When you acknowledge your weakness, that time you need to ask God. This is a command. Meaning of this word is to ask for, to request for act. Begging somebody to do something. That is the meaning of ask. Begging someone to do something in your life. That means James is telling believers, Christians, please beg God to do something in your life when you are going through the difficult situations. This is the idea. Not only that, he is not giving permission, he is not giving option, he is commanding. He is giving only one way. Whoever has lack of weakness, who don't have wisdom, that time they should ask God. This is the only option for believers to get wisdom, which gives godly life in midst of trials. Believers should pray God. The idea of this command, brothers and sisters, is believer who has lack of wisdom in trial should ask him continuously without stopping until he gets the wisdom. The believers has to ask God, beg God continuously, unless he get that wisdom. That is the idea James is telling. Best example of prayer is Jesus. Jesus understands better than us who is Father. He prayed to God in the time of terrible suffering that God was going to pour out wrath upon him. He totally depended on God as a man. We see this, Luke chapter 22, verse 41. Brothers and sisters, maybe you have different trials in your life. Please pray continually to God. Maybe you say, I have no time to pray. I have job. I have to do some work. But when you are driving, your hand is working, no? Your eyes is working, but your heart is free, no? You ask, if you don't have time, pray God when you are having difficult situation. What will you do when you are going to work all the time, wasting your time? Jesus was praying God as a man. He knows that he should depend on God as a man. If prayer is essential to the Jesus as a man, definitely it is essential to the Cornerstone Community Church. When you are going through difficult situation. The second principle that teaches to pray in God-centered way is, praying God by knowing Him. Praying God by knowing Him. Look at verse 5 says that, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Three attributes of God that help us to know him. The first attributes of God is, he is the wise. Look at verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Carefully observe these words. Ask of God. He did not say use your mind, nor say depend on your wisdom, nor say run to so-called pastors and healers. He said, let him ask of God. Because God is the source of wisdom. Nobody will give this wisdom except God. Man is not source of wisdom, but God alone. Man is unwise, as you know. Man is foolish. He cannot handle the problem. He cannot know. He don't know how to live in trials. But God alone will give wisdom to the people. Let me tell you one example. I want to buy one mobile. If I go to the chicken shop, what you will do? You will laugh. You say to me, are you mad? If you want mobile, you have to go mobile shop. If I go to the chicken shop, people will laugh. See, you can find wisdom in God alone. The God is the source of wisdom. The wisdom is how to walk, how to live our life in trials. So we have to run to the God. He is the source of wisdom. He is the wise. Asking God for wisdom is a good thing for us. If we have trials, Proverbs chapter 2 verse 6 says, for the Lord gives wisdom. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. We cannot comprehend the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge. He redeemed, brothers and sisters, by his wisdom. God redeemed, sanctifying us by his wisdom. So James is commanding us to depend on, to request God so that we may live righteous life. He is not giving them option, but only one way. That is God. Because he is the wise, he can give wisdom. Second attribute of God is, he is generous. He is generous. Look at verse 5 says. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously, and it will be given to him. James is describing who God is. God is not only wise, but he is generous. He is the giver of wisdom. He is all generous God. How he will give generously? Which carries the idea of singleness of heart. The generous means singleness of heart, of doing something unconditionally and without bargaining. If you want to go some other place, you call taxi. He say 1500. Then you say, I will give 1000 rupees. He said, no, I won't come. Then you say, yeah, I will come because I have to go there. See, taxi man will bargain. We will go to the shop, market, we will bargain. But idea of this generous means God does not bargain. When we go to the God, when we go to pray to God, Lord help me, God help me, I am in this problem, I have to handle this problem, God did not bargain. He will give generously what we need. That is talking about righteous life in the trials. Here James is telling that anybody ask God for wisdom, God will give this, no doubt at all. And it is passive. When we see this scripture, it is passive. We do not have strength that we can gain wisdom for ourselves. But it will be given by God to us, not by us, not by any man. He is generous God. See, James chapter 1, verse 70 to 18 says, chapter 1, verse 17 to 18 says that, how much generous he was. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variations and shifting shadow. Listen, brothers and sisters, let me ask you one question. Whom will God give wisdom? Who asks him? That is the main idea. It will be given to him. Who is he who depends on him? Who asks and who requests God to help him? Who begs God, Lord help me, I am in this situation. Who do those things? Definitely God will help. James is reminding the nature of God. His nature is to give his people good things. He gave his son, definitely he will give wisdom to you, brothers and sisters. Third attribute of God, he does not revile. Third attribute of God to know him is he does not revile. Look at verse 5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach. Listen, brothers and sisters. Reproach means scolding, reviling, cast insult publicly. So God is not going to do that. He does not want anyone to hesitate to come to him. He will allow them him through Christ. He is kind and generous, good, loving God. He is not a man who insults you whenever you go to God. We have to understand. He is good and compassionate God. He does not revile. He does not insult whenever you go to the throne of grace. David, so many times, he cried to God, Lord, hear my crying. He always used to do that. Daniel and his friends, always depending on God. And so many godly men, they depended on God because they know who their God is. Brothers and sisters, always remind God is wise and generous and does not revile you when you go to pray him. You are reading newspapers and studying secular books, novels, stories. It's okay. But I'm saying to you, study attributes of God in Bible. It will give you big view of God. That time, you will go to God directly with confidence. You will pray in God-centered way. thought principle that teaches to pray in God-centered way is praying God with confidence. Praying God with confidence. Verse 6 says, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. Here James is saying that how we should ask God. As we understand the meaning of asking, that man who has lack of wisdom, unholy life, should depend on right person. He should request, beg God with full of trust. Even though you are depending on God, if you don't have faith in him, if you don't have trust in him, that is not enough. That is not worth. So he is saying that you should depend on right way, that is without doubting God with full confidence. You must have confidence in God. He is attacking one who doubts God's character. He is attacking God's character. That he is saying that God is not wise. God is not generous. He cannot solve my problem. One who doubts God, he is saying same thing. What is the doubt? Doubting means uncertain between trusting God and trusting the world and are his own opinions, natural abilities. And one who lives in an inner conflict between trust and distrust of God. Here in this passage, unsure of God's character, that is able to give wisdom how to live godly life in the midst of trials. James is telling to believers that by faith you pray, you ask God with trust, with confidence. Faith is a settled trust and confidence in God based on his character and his promises were in scripture. We know that Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. We should have confidence when we have trials, when we have need, that time we need to go with confidence to the throne of grace. That is the idea of James' words. James is giving three warnings against doubting God if anybody has no confidence in God. See, Bible is saying, James is saying that please have confidence. If you don't have confidence, there are three warnings to you. The first warning against doubting God is there is no peace. There is no peace. Look at verse 6 says, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Here James is telling that one who doubts God is like surf of sea, which always driven forth and back and tossed. In the sea, there is no rest for to the surf of the sea. There is no rest for the one who doubt in God in the time of trials. You are not in the control, but you are being driven and tossed by the doubt. Here James is saying that, brothers and sisters, you will be like that. No peace for you, going forth and back in trials because of lack of wisdom, because you don't have confidence. There is no peace for you in that time. Second warning against doubting God is there is no hope. There is no hope. Look at, for that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Verse 7 to 8. A person who doubts God's goodness dishonors him. Such a person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. James is saying that stop expectations from the Lord. This is the command. Don't expect great things, something from the Lord, anything. He mentioned anything. Lord is not going to give anything. He won't give anything because you are doubting Lord. Look the word anything. He receives nothing from the Lord. Here who gives something to one? Lord. Who gives? Lord. That is Jesus Christ. He is the giver of all things. God the Father gives when we ask. And also Lord Jesus also gives when we ask. So John chapter 4 verse 14, chapter 14 verse 13 says, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may glorify in the Son. Verse 14 says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus is promising that he will do, but in his name. Jesus promising us, I will do. Please ask me in my name when you are going through difficult situation. That is the main idea here. He will not receive anything from the Lord who doubts Lord. Jesus is the Lord. That means he is sovereign. Absolutely, he is God. If you doubt God, if you doubt Jesus, you are attacking Jesus, God himself. Jesus also won't give anything to anybody if that person is doubting Father and Jesus' power. Third warning against doubting God is there is no consistency. There is no consistency. There is no peace. There is no hope. There is no consistency. Stability. Look at verse 8 says, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Based on this context, one who doubts God is double-minded man, unstable man. Here James is explaining inconsistency of him who doubts God for upright walk. There is no spiritual consistency in him who doubts God. He is a double-minded man that he has two head, he has two mind. One time he will think, another time he will think another way. Scientists once studied a snake that was double-minded. It was born with two heads. Each head has mind of its own, would try to control body. One mind wants to move one way, another mind wants to another way. The snake completely went another way. That is the idea of double-minded. Brothers and sisters, everyone who has trials, he must pray with confidence without having double mind. There is no peace, there is no hope, there is no stability in you if you doubt God. Whether it is facing financial problem, physical illness, criticism, fear, whatever it is, persecution by non-Christians, God can help and give wisdom which help you to live righteous life in that time. But run to God with confidence in the prayer. When you do not bear your burden, do not be surf of the sea, double-minded. One day you are the one who trusts God, another day you are the one who doubts God. One day you are so spiritual, another day you are not spiritual. Why you are doing like that? Because you are not trusting God. You don't have confidence in God. I'm going to conclude you. Few years back, 12 years, 13 years back, I and my elder brother, we both went to swim. My brother was swimming little far from me, deep. Suddenly waves were dragging me inside. I scared. I came to know that I am going to die. If I want to live, I should do two things. I have to swim. Second one, I should call my brother. I cannot swim because I am tired. I got scared. I am going to die. I lose my energy. I lost my energy. That time I have decided that I should call my brother. He will help me to save myself. I was shouting, brother, brother, please come, shouting. He came and helped me to come out. Brothers and sisters, I would ask you one question. If I have doubt on my brother, if I have no confidence on my brother, will I call my brother? No. If I think I am a strong person than my brother, shall I call? Did I call my brother? No. I thought that I am weak. I thought that my weakness, I am a very weak person. I acknowledge he is better than me to take me up from the sea. then I trusted him. He can do something. If it is true with my brother in that case, definitely it is true with God our Father. If you know you are the weak, if you know your God is, if you know he can do anything if you call him, definitely he will do something in your trials. Psalms chapter 55 verse 22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. God may help us to lean on him all the time of our trials for godly life. Let us pray. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your great mercy, love upon us. Thank you, Lord, you saved us from eternal wrath in Jesus Christ. Lord, we come before you with confidence. Lord, help us to overcome trials, to handle the trials. Lord, help us to live righteous life in the time of trials. Lord, I am praying for church, Lord. Church may love you and have confidence whenever they are going to the throne of grace. Lord, help us be godly in the trials. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.